Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is the Council Connections show with Michael Goodrich. Connection is
made. And welcome to the Council Connections show for June. I've been a bit away. I've missed the last two shows. My co-host Kelly has been a fantastic host. How are you going, Kelly?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Michael. Absolutely fabulous to have you back. We've welcomed you back with some nice wintry weather.
I know. Well, it has been. Winter has commenced. My gosh, last time I was on air, it was beautiful and sunny. Now we are in winter. But it's a beautiful time to be in the valley, in the upper Yarra as well, like just the mountains here and staring at Mount Donabewang right now and seeing those wispy clouds and thinking all the snow's coming soon too. It's a beautiful place to live all year round.
Absolutely. It's never lost on me as I'm heading out to the valley. You come through Sylvan there and you're looking out towards Hillsville and just that layer of cloud and mist, it's never lost upon me. It's fabulous.
Yeah. Beautiful country and beautiful people. We have some beautiful people on today, don't we?
We certainly do. We certainly do. We've got an action-packed lineup as per usual. We've got the lovely Natalie Montano joining us from our grants team. She'll be chatting about our annual grants program. We've got Nikita and a special guest, Karen. So we'll be welcoming Karen. He'll be having a little bit of a chat, given that it's Pride Month at the moment. And what are we rounding out the session with, Michael?
And lastly, from the Eastern Regional Libraries, we've got Rachel talking about all the programs happening in the libraries in Yarra Junction, Hillsville, and online and around the place too. So it's her first time being on air today too. So exciting to finish off the day or our session with Rachel from the libraries.
Fantastic. So I guess first cab up the rank, Nat. Natalie, welcome, Nat. Welcome to the show.
What that will you, be fine.
Tell us a little bit, who are you? Where do you come from?
Well, yes, my name's Natalie Montano, but you can call me Nat. And I look after the grant program, especially grants for community, our annual program. And I have some wonderful colleagues I also work with, and a big shout out to Ann Took, who manages the partnership program, and Miranda Flynn, who is all over the small grants program. And thank you so much for Yarra Valley FM for giving us the opportunity to chat about our Grants for Community program, which is coming up. And we're excited that the round is now opened. It opened on the 1st of June. So we're looking to get some applications in. So it's great.
So tell us a little bit more. Obviously, the round is live. There's opportunities for community groups, not-for-profit community groups and creatives to connect with some funding to roll out some great ideas. So tell us a little bit more. How can people – what's it all about? What sort of things does it support?
All right. So I'll peel it back a little bit. It's, as I said before, it's an annual program, and we're lucky enough to have a funding pool of $500,000. So applicants can apply up to $10,000 per project. And it's about, fostering well-being, mental and physical health, increasing social connections and facilitating cultural and heritage development within the Yarra Ranges. So making it a better place to live, especially on the connection side, especially after COVID. Am I allowed to say that word now? but, yeah, just bring everyone together, especially with mental health and different diversities and genders and being inclusive. So building capacity, basically, and leadership and all the community groups, not-for-profit community groups, all individual artists can apply. It's you don't need to be incorporated, but if you're not, you'll need an auspice, which is a body who are incorporated, and they can manage your funds for you.
Now, on that, what would be an example? Could you share a community example of someone who might be in a position to be able to auspice a local artist if they're not incorporated?
Yeah, there's a few bodies out there, but the most popular one that I usually recommend is Auspicious Arts. They specialise in auspicing, artists and things. They do charge a little bit, just probably 5 to 10% of the overall grant. But yeah, they manage the money for you, so they partner and team up with you to assist you as well. So you don't have to worry about the money side of things. You've got someone to do that for you. That's nice. So it's like a little bank. Oh, I need to pay this invoice. Oh, okay, I'll do it for you. So yeah, they look after the financial side of things. And yeah. If you're not an artist and you're a not-for-profit and you're not incorporated, your community group, you could go to your local neighbourhood house, sporting body, they're usually incorporated. What else is there? There's RSLs, the Lions group, that can usually auspice for you. Theory is another good example in the Yarra Valley there. It's
plenty of opportunities. Area.
There's lots of series around the place in Yarra Ranges, yeah.
Yeah, plenty of opportunities.
And it's an annual grant, isn't it? So, like, this happens each year and rounds up now for projects
So we have partnerships which are 4-yearly and annual one, obviously yearly. So they apply in the year before the activity takes place. So they apply this year in 2023, but the activity takes place in 2024, the following year. So
there's some great examples too of projects from this year as well. So this is an annual grant, happens every year, and there's some fantastic projects and activities that are funded this year. Can you give a few examples? I think you've got a few.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we have three funding streams. So we've got community development, arts and heritage, and festivals and events. So when you go into the application forms, you need to select what project will correspond to each of those streams. For example, community development, it covers things like health and well-being, inclusion for people with disability, about the environment, sustainability, reconciliation, and youth as well, and children and families. Some examples about who in the community development sector would be Badger Creek had a Dancing in the Dark project, and it was a weekly opportunity for people to come and dance freely in a friendly, non-threatening, drug and alcohol-free atmosphere, and it's promoting healthy minds and healthy bodies, and it was open to all ages and all genders and backgrounds and demographics. So, and the music was varied too, from the 1920s up to the modern, maybe some bit of techno and fusion as well. So it was very inclusive.
Great opportunity to have a boogie, hey, Nat.
Yeah, I know. I was up for that one. I love a little bit of dancing, whoever knows me. I love my dancing. So, and another one is Yarra Valley ECOS. They had it's called the Crops for Community. So it's a project about volunteers, growing, harvesting, processing food. They were selling the food at the Valley Market ECOS, and they also donated their food as well to things like Koa Cafe and Una Tucker Bag community programs as well. And there's lots of others like Hillsville Core, engaging the community to educate other various local organisations and identify champions, and for them to spread the word about, environment and things. And there's Hillsville Living and Learning Centre as well.
They're doing some great things down there, aren't they? Like Hillsville Living and Learning, Open Day, mental health workshops, St. Bridget's Parish in Hillsville. I was out there a couple of weeks ago, Nat, and they had a wellness expo, and they were connecting their members and the broader community with a series of wellbeing activities. They had Tai Chi, they had yoga, they had massage. And not only that, they actually connected with the local primary school to get them to come in and basically cater a lunch for the participants. Yeah. It was a great connection there for the community. So.
Yeah, and great partnerships as well. We like to see partnerships. Mm. We like to see a few groups working together, and that way it'll make it a stronger and overall better event, because there's more hands on deck and it's helping each other. So, there's a few organisations out there. And, of course, there's the Arts and Heritage category as well. So these are for the artists would apply under this category, but there's community groups that can do an arts project or a heritage project as well. Again, we have Yarra Valley Arts Open Studios, which has been going for a while now. So that's an annual event And that gives local artists the opportunity to connect with community, open up their private studios at their homes, showcasing their work. They can sell their pieces of art as well, so they can increase the income. And it goes around. It's on springtime, and it's on about 3 weekends during spring, and then they have a big showcase at Yarva, cultivating the whole of the actual some of the great exhibitions. Art that the artists have to show.
Absolutely.
And there's Yarra Valley, yep, and sorry, you're going to say, Kelly?
No, I was going to say absolutely, and it's a real great insight to get into the inner sanctum of artists. It's a real amazing opportunity because that's not always possible. So,
yeah, that's great. We'd like to support the artists, especially those in the Yarra Valley, Yarra Council. And then there's ECOS. They also did a Yarra Valley ECOS. They did it's called a Bundle Nest. The project saw the weaving of Bundle's Nest with Wurundjeri elder Auntie Kim Wondon, including a language ritual for participants to interact with the nest through Wurrung language. So that was another project that was held in that would have been come under heritage categories. Obviously, and then we have our wonderful festivals and events which connect and create vibrant spaces and connecting so many people throughout the whole Yarra Ranges. We've had music festivals such as River Folk Festival in Warburton, and that happens over 3 days in a weekend, over one weekend, and it's 3 days, and that's huge to organise an event like that. And of course, the Hillsville Music Festival that happens every year. We have sustainable festivals such as Ecotopia, film festivals such as the Warburton and Fields Film Festival, and sometimes some international events such as the Downhill Skate event, which happened a few months ago, which is also a three-day event of downhill skating. And that takes place, as you were mentioned before, at Mount Donna Buang. And, that attracts, attracting international, interstate and local riders of all backgrounds and abilities to compete. So, and that's attracting a lot of visitors to Yarra Ranges as well, which we love to see also.
That's something for everyone there, Nat. You've given us a great sort of snapshot of some of the different ideas. So I guess, the round is open, it's live. How do our lovely listeners connect to find out more?
Well, you can hop onto the Yarra Ranges website, just put it into the Google and it'll come up at Yarra Ranges website. And in the search engine, you can also just search grants and all the grants will pop up, but just look for grants for community. That's the one that's opened at the moment. And that'll give you the selection criteria, which is what we're actually looking for community, how much is your project involves a community, what is the community going to get out of it, do you have any partnerships or collaboration, which you spoke about before, are you partnering up with anyone, how many volunteers do you have, how qualified are you as an organisation or individual artist to bring on, put this project together and see it to fruition? And there's a section about the budget as well. So that's part of the actual a category as well. So make sure all your expenses and revenue are all balanced, on either side of the actual budget.
And that if people want to dig down into that level too, you've got an upcoming information session. There's a couple of options. There's an online one and an in-person one as well. So when's that on?
That's Wednesday the 21st of June. That'll be on online during the day, 1 till 2:30, and in the evening it's going to be at the Civic Centre, the Yarra Ranges Civic Centre. That's at 6 till 7:30. So that's going to be in person. So we can chat a bit more about all those things that we're looking for, and we'll take a deeper dive into some of the questions as well. So we'll
connect. And they're a great opportunity too to like meet other people who are interested as well.
Yeah.
But also some great networking, because you might have an idea
Yeah, that's right.
And some of us have an idea and you go, oh, we could work together or share some resources or share some ideas. So it's a great chance to meet other passionate people too.
Exactly. And it's great to also, you know, call someone at call one of the council officers, and you can call the grants department, of course, but in the application form and online we have a list of council officers that might specialise in your area. For example, festivals and events could be Anna Reid, for example, and we have all the contact details on who to speak to. It is an eligibility requirement to actually speak to a council officer at council. So, you know, you do get some insight. You know, you talk about your project and they will guide you and help you and maybe look at, say, oh, look, this person's doing a similar project. Did you want to partner up and things like that? So, you know, by talking to a council officer, it is advantageous, you know, just opening up conversation and seeing where it all goes.
Absolutely. And we're here to help. Like, I think it's one of the things, you might have a little idea, not quite sure to where to start or who to talk to. And and Kelly and I, as community developers for the Valley Up Yarra, and so one of our great jobs we love doing is having a chat with somebody going, oh, what's your idea and how can you connect with somebody else who's got similar ideas or passions or help you through the planning as well. So even if you're not quite sure exactly the whole idea of your project, but have an idea or a bit of a dream, give a call, have a chat, and we can help you along the way as well. Yeah, and these are great projects we're talking about. They're big projects. Just a few that big either. Like, it's up to $10,000. You might need to $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000 that just gets you going and gets you going. So it doesn't have to be a massive thing. It could be something really nice and simple. It's a little weekly, really thing, like the dances at Badger Creek, something not too great, not sort of bigger festival. It could be something a bit smaller too. So, yeah, give a call. We're here to help out and talk you through it.
Yeah, so they can call us on the 1300 number, 1300 368 333, if you want to write that down, or they can contact us via the grants email, which is grants@yarrarangers.vic.gov.au. But all that information is on our website as well. So if you didn't get that with me saying it so quickly, you can have a look online. And they do close on the 17th of July at 3 p.m. sharp, which is the Monday. So you've got another five weeks or so. So get applying. So we're looking forward to seeing all the applications, and if you need any help, we're here to help. So thank you.
Fantastic, Nat. A wealth of information as per usual. Thanks for joining us today. And yes, to our lovely listeners, reach out, connect, share your ideas, have a chat over a cuppa, and we'll see what can come out the other side. And we're looking forward to seeing what funded projects are out and about for the new calendar year.
Absolutely. And there's some always great ideas and lots of new projects or projects that have been before to grow and change as well. And I also will plug into, we also, if you go to the council website and search grants, you'll find a grants committee, but you also find our monthly small grants. And this month is June. So you can apply once per financial year for a small grant, up to $1,000. So as June is the last calendar month for this financial year, so you haven't applied for a small grant for your community group or organisation this financial year, this is the month to do it. It's your last chance this year, if you haven't applied, to apply this year. Up to $1,000, nice and small grants, last little projects to test things out and support some great things happening in your community. So, again, go to Yarrangers Council website and search grants. You'll find all our grants, community, small grants, and all the other things we do support community leading the way in community development and all the festival activities as well. We have got a song now, and up next we've got Nikita Chandukaran. And Karen is a parent of a transgender child, and as Pride Week, thought we'd share Karen's story about what it's like to be a parent of a child who's transgender. So after song next, and then we'll have that wonderful conversation.
Hey Jolene, I'm taking back my man. Hey Jolene, I'm taking back my man. He said he realizes I'm the best he's ever had. So you
and put him where the sun don't shine. He's my man, Jolene. Now you could have any man, but no, you wanted mine. Well, back off the bus, I've had enough. You've run out of time. You see, Jolene, a leopard spots never ever change. I know my man, I know him well, he's here with me again. Hey Jolene, I'm taking back my man. Said he realizes I'm the best he's ever had. So you can take your auburn locks, your eyes of emerald green, and put him where the sun don't shine. He's my man, Jolene. Well, hey, Jolene, karma's here. She's taking back her man. Hey, Jolene, I'm taking back my man. She said he realizes I'm the best he's ever had. So you can take your open locks, your eyes of emerald green, and put him where the sun don't shine. He's my man, Jolene.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Council Connection Show. Next up, we would like to welcome Nikita from our youth team and a special guest, Karen, who will be having a little bit of a chat. It's Pride Month at the moment, and going to have a little bit of a chat, Karen, about your experience as a parent of a transgender child. So welcome, Nikita and Karen.
Thank you, Kelly. Yes, I'm Nikita Aldridge, for those listening at home, and I am the youth worker here at Yarra Rangers Council. And I am very honoured to be joined by the lovely Karen today. So, Karen, would you like to give a little introduction?
Sure. I'm Karen. I've been at Council now for just over 15 years. And recently, well, about 4 years ago, my child Felix came out as being transgender. So that's been quite a journey for me, and we're just here to have a chat about that today.
Yes, absolutely. And first of all, happy Pride Month, everyone listening at home. Lovely month to be able to celebrate all of our incredible LGBTQIA plus community. So, yes, let's hop straight into it. So would you like to give us a little bit of a rundown on Felix's journey to start us off, Karen?
Yeah, sure. So I guess looking back, you know, there, and this will probably be one of the questions anyway, but looking back, there were some signs along the way that led to this path for Felix. Felix was born a girl and is now living as a trans male, 30 years old. So it's not something that happened during childhood, but more recently in adulthood. So this happened, as I said, about 4 years ago, and it's been quite a journey for not only Felix, but for myself and the extended family as well.
Yeah, and were there any signs early on in Felix's childhood that were leading towards his identity now that you may not have noticed back then?
Yes, absolutely. Looking back, I think all the signs were there, but at the time I just put it down to her being a tomboy. I'll say her because it was her back then. Copied everything her big brother did, but I figured that's because she loved her big brother and just wanted to emulate everything he did. Would play with his toys, would wear his Tonka truck hat, would wanted a Thomas the Tank backpack instead of a Barbie one when starting kinder. By the time school started, refused to wear a dress, so I had to bark a lot, which was fine. I had no issue with any of that. And I thought, you know, a very strong, independent person as a child and knew what they wanted, and I was more than happy to support that. But I guess at the time, just put it down to thinking, oh, I've got a little tomboy on my hands, you know, which is what we used to refer to back in the day. So, yeah, definitely there were signs there looking back, yeah.
And when Felix did come out as transgender, how did your inner family circle react? Was there any confusion or...?
Yeah, look, it wasn't the easiest time, I have to say, but being a parent, all you want for your child is for them to be happy and to support them with whatever journey they choose in life, whatever path they choose in life. It wasn't a total shock to me, but I think the transgender thing was probably the biggest step that they had taken. And it was, I guess, a little bit confronting because it's not something that we've openly, you know, it hasn't been such a thing, particularly for a girl to become a boy. It's usually been talked about the other way around in the past, so there wasn't a lot of exposure to this in the past, and I guess it was a bit confronting. And you know, as a mother, you just want to protect your child, and even trying to explain to other family members what's happened and trying to get them on board with that was part of my journey, I guess, as a parent. I just wanted everything to be okay. I wanted Felix to be able to come to family functions where it was comfortable for him and comfortable for everyone else. So it's, you know, it was a little bit challenging at the start. But having said that, I have a fantastic family and they are so supportive of all of this. So it has actually turned out to be a very positive journey, I think, and you know, I couldn't be happier and prouder, to be honest. Yeah.
Amazing. Has there been any barriers that either yourself or Felix has faced since the transition?
Yeah, look, I think this has really highlighted some of the gaps in our society for all marginalised groups, not just gender diverse people, but for disabled people, for Indigenous people, for a whole range of, you know, diversity in our society. One of the main things for Felix initially was the use of public toilets. Now, back in the day, even 4 years ago, we had less of that available to, as in gender neutral toilets, we had less of that available to the general public. These days, that is moving in a positive direction. I was really happy a few years ago when Marvel Stadium announced that they would be introducing gender-neutral toilets at their facility, because it's very difficult for somebody to feel comfortable using one or the other when they transition. You know, there's always a fear of somebody, particularly if you've transitioned to a male, it's quite a risk to just use public male toilets. You know, they could possibly pick up on something about you and, you know, you could put yourself at risk, I guess. So, but then on the same token, it's, you know, you don't identify as a female, so you don't necessarily want to walk into a female toilet block. So I'm a big advocate for gender-neutral toilets and making them available everywhere. So that would be the main barrier, I would say.
I'm thinking so excited for the next couple of years because I do believe that gender-neutral toilets will become a staple everywhere.
Absolutely.
It's just taking a little bit of time.
It has.
So hopefully onwards and upwards for that.
Yeah.
But with yourself, what's been the biggest challenge you've faced with the transition?
Look, I think initially, as I said before, you just want to protect your child. And I did struggle a bit to try to explain the situation, particularly to my parents and their generation. They've had very little exposure to this sort of thing. So I guess the best way I could explain it was to say that, look, that they don't identify as a girl, and it's almost like they've been born in the wrong body. And I think if you put it into simple terms like that, people are more understanding, because a lot of people see this as a fad or a fashion thing or a trend, and it's absolutely not. It is how they identify. And, I mean, to try and imagine how it would be to wake up one day, you know, in a body that you don't identify with, I just take my hat off to these people that they are so brave and following their path to become their true self.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was fortunate enough to read a speech that you had written and had presented to a couple of working groups here at Council. In your speech, I read that it's incredibly important to have a time period to grieve. What was the grieving process like for you, and did that time period help for you to come to terms with the change in your life and the change in Felix's life and everything going on?
Yeah, look, I would say that it was definitely a grieving period, and I would highlight that to anybody who, you know, is going through this themselves at the moment. As a parent, you need to allow yourself to grieve. Initially, I definitely felt like I'd lost a daughter. I don't feel like that at all these days. I feel like this has been one of the most positive experiences of my life. Felix is such a beautiful person. I'm going to get emotional now. he's such a beautiful person. And none of that changed. You know, none of that changed from because they decided they didn't identify as female anymore. I'm immensely proud of all of my kids. I now have three boys instead of two boys and a girl. I've actually realised after that grieving period that it's become such a positive part of my life and his life, and it's a celebration for me. I love to talk about it. I don't feel any anxiety around it anymore, whereas I initially had a lot of anxiety because I was fearful of people's reactions and, you know, their prejudices and that sort of thing. But I'm not affected by that anymore. And, you know, people will learn in their own time, I guess. So, and if I can help them do that, that's great. Yeah.
Well, I think the most important thing to remember is Felix is still the same person he was before the transition. It's just they're now identifying in a more comfortable, they're more comfortable with who they are now.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%, yes. Yeah.
So we're in Pride Month.
Yes.
As I said, beautiful month.
Yep.
How important is the significance of Pride Month to yourself and Felix?
I would say for me it's immensely important, and I've been fortunate to work at a council where I get to be involved in helping put on events or things like this. I think any event or any anything that's out there that's going to help promote, you know, the LGBTQI community is a fantastic thing, because We need to find a way that there's no stigma anymore, and people are allowed to be themselves without any shame or, you know, or feeling the need to hide who they really are. Mm-hmm. So I think anything that we can do to promote that is fantastic. And as I said, I've had a great opportunity to do that through council by being involved in the steering committee for diversity and inclusion and being able to be a part of putting events on. As far as Felix goes, I would have to say probably couldn't care less one way or the other, just absolutely getting on with their life. I'm probably the one waving the flag. They're not really that interested. They just want to get on with life, and that's what they're doing. So, yeah.
Do you have any advice you wish to give to parents that has a child who is questioning their identity or they're showing signs that they're not comfortable with who they are?
Yeah, look, I would strongly suggest that they don't try to persuade their child one way or the other. Just allow them to be themselves and to become who they want to be. I don't know how else to put it. The other thing I would suggest is if you're really struggling, to look for support groups. I know initially, you know, I struggled initially and a friend put me on to a cafe. I'm not sure if it's still running now, but it was a monthly cafe catch-up for trans people and their families. And I found that really helpful for me at the time because it helped to normalise everything for me and make me feel less isolated as, you know, from what I was going through. So, yeah, that would be my advice for people to just reach out, you know, if there's places they can go to try and, you know, talk things out with other people that are going through the same thing. It's really helpful, definitely, yeah.
I guess our last question for the day is how is Felix going?
Felix is fantastic. He is an incredible artist. He designs for e-learning programs for all sorts of companies, has won awards for that. But true passion is doing improv shows and more recently doing stand-up comedy, which I had the pleasure of going to a few weeks ago with my partner at a little bar in the city called the Theory Bar, and they put on different performers for the night that only set up for about five to 7 minutes or something, but absolutely brilliant. And I think he's loving life, to be honest, just living his best life. So, yeah, all good.
Well, it's been lovely to have you on, Karen.
Yep.
And I thank you so much for joining us today and sharing yours and Felix's story. And we are very appreciative to have you on.
Thank you so much, Nikita, for the opportunity. It's been a pleasure.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you, Nikita. Thank you, Karen, for that powerful story. It's just amazing to hear that story and the journey for everyone involved in that as well. And if people want to find out more information, like Karen, you've offered to, if someone's listening and wants to sort of reach out and find out a bit more or get some ideas of where to get support, you've been offered to pass on your kind of details to Yarrabelle FM. So if someone's listening now, like, oh, I'd like to maybe chat to Karen about what her journey's been like or maybe get an idea of, you know, what's that support group, you can contact Yarrabelle FM and just ask for that you can pass your details now, Karen can give you contact and have a chat with her. She's very happy to support other parents going through the same journey as well. But if you are wanting more resources, there is the Australian Pride Network. So if you just go on your browse and search Australian Pride Network, it's a great resource there around festivals, events, but also programs as well for the whole community. Also -18, so -18 is for young people as well, which is a great resource for young people and events. And lastly, the Rainbow Network is for workplaces. So if you're a workplace, you want to make your place more inclusive and more friendly for the Pride community, the Rainbow Network is also a great resource to get you going as well. So just go on your browser and search other, Australian Pride community, -18, or Rainbow Network. Some great resources there to get you started. Or just call council and we'll help you out as well. I have a little song break now. Next up, we've got Rachel from our libraries, talk about what's happening in our libraries this month. And welcome back to the Council Connection Show. And it was just amazing just to reflect on that beautiful story. We just heard from Karen and Nikita talking about her child who's transgender and that transition quite late in life as well, like, you know, 30, you know, 10, 30, just that journey that they both went on as well. And again, if you're listening and you want to find out more, get some resources, you can just, search in your internet browser, Australian Pride Network. It's a great resource there for resources and some events happening in the area or find out more where to go and get support. There's also -18 for young people and the Rainbow Network for workplaces too, just so, hey, be more supportive and inclusive in your workplace and your services. But now, we've got lovely places to hang out in a rainy day. The libraries are a fantastic place anytime, but also particularly in a rainy day like today. And we've got Rachel from the Eastern Regional Libraries joining us from the Yarra Junction Library. Hey, Rachel.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, I'm assuming it's nice and cosy and warm there now at the library.
Yes, it's nice and warm in here. It's wonderful.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about your first time with us on here, isn't it?
It is. So I joined JR Junction Library just earlier this year in January as the Children's Service Officer. So my main role here at the library is doing story times throughout the term, and I get to do three of those each week. So I have a family story time on Mondays at 11 a.m. I do toddlers on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and tiny tots on Thursdays at 11 a.m. And that's lots of fun because I love working with kids as well. So it's great joy to see them come along and join in on singing the songs and engaging with the books that I read.
What fun. And a beautiful little spot there in the library there in the corner with story time. But also the lovely little children's corner room there as well with all the beautiful books and little crafting stuff that happens there as well. It's a great little library there.
Yes, we're quite fortunate that we've got our own kids' room there. It's really nice just to set things up and make it nice and cosy.
Yeah, and parents can be a bit relaxed too, knowing the kids are all in the room and
doing
others in the library.
That's it. We're pretty well contained in there, which is wonderful.
Now, tell us what's happening on the library this month.
We've got lots coming up. So we've actually just recently released our What's On booklet, so you can pop into the libraries to pick one of those up, or you can head to the library website, yourlibrary.com.au. And we've got some really good things coming up at Yarra Junction. We've got a talk on Alice Anderson on Monday the 19th of June at 2 p.m. And she is a mechanic, and she was actually had the first all-woman garage workshop in Australia. So that's going to be really fascinating to find out more about her. So if that's something you're interested in, you can call up or you can book online to come on down and be part of that. And we've also got a wonderful gardening group that happens every second Monday of the month. So our next one is the 10th of July. Unfortunately, they're missing out this month with the King's public holiday. But that is run by Violetta, and she has just got so much knowledge, and that's really great to come down and get some gardening tips and get some plants as well, because she always has an abundance that she brings in, which is great.
Yeah, and you've got a lovely seed swap too, I know. Library there, a little door there, you people can drop off their seeds if they're collected or do some swapping as well.
Yeah, so if anyone has any extra seeds they don't want, they're welcome to donate those, or if they're after something, they can pop in and see if we've got what they want, which is really great as well. And we've got something really fun. We've got some puzzle swaps coming up starting on the 17th of July, which is a Monday. So you can bring in any puzzles that you don't want and trade them to try and get something new to complete as well. So that'll be great.
Good time for puzzles now, I think, during winter coming up.
Oh, yes. And we've got lots of wonderful kids' events coming up too. So part of my role is planning the holiday program, and those events will be published next week, and bookings will open on the Friday 16th for any that need it. And we've got some Minecraft coding up coming up. Oh. So anyone who likes Minecraft or a bit of technology things, that's on Tuesday the 27th at 2 p.m. We have got a comedian coming out called Mr. Snotbottom on Thursday the 29th. Of June, so that's at 2 p.m. and I think that will be one that the kids will absolutely love. So that will be great. The name
Snot
enough.
And bottom, like it's a double banger.
What a combination. we've got a superhero activity day on Wednesday the 24th. Not the 24th, that's the next week. Where is that? Sorry, Wednesday the 5th of July, at 2 o'clock. And so people can come down. We're going to have some craft activities set up. We're going to have a bit of an obstacle course, and they can make superhero themed activities, like we've got cape making and mask making and word searches and all sorts.
Amazing.
And I've got a good one for some of the slightly younger ones. For the 0-6 year olds, we've got a session called Shake, Chimmy and Sing. So we're going to do some music, lots of instruments out, and they can help make their own craft, and that's on Friday the 7th of July.
Plenty on if you be busy during the school holidays and these rainy days too.
Yeah.
It's fantastic to hear. And, so much going on, as always.
Yes.
And if people know, that's all, you know, happening at Yarra Junction, but also got the Healesville Library, which is a big, beautiful open library as well.
Yeah,
and Healesville as well.
Yeah, Healesville have got some wonderful things coming up as well. So they've got their creative phone photography coming up just this Friday, 2 days' time, in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, and that will be really great. And they've also got Back in Business, which is a talk about health by Jane Birmingham, and that is on Saturday the 17th of June. And they've also got a free community lunch to celebrate the winter solstice on Thursday the 22nd of June as well.
always very popular for lunch. It's been beautiful to see that grow and connection with the library and the community garden and other organisations. It's been a lovely space to see that happening and bring community together to sit down and share a meal and have a chat too.
Yes, it is wonderful. And they've got their own little kitchen there, so they're very fortunate they can have those food-related activities quite easily, which is great.
Yes, absolutely. Now, people didn't have a pen with them, but they want to jump on their phone or their laptop to find out more. Where can they go to?
Yes. So there's the website yourlibrary.com.au, and if you want to call Yarra Junction with any questions, you can call us on 9800 6462, or if you want to contact Healesville about any of their events, their phone number is 9800 6497.
Beautiful. And also you just pop in and say good day.
Yes, that's right. You're welcome to pop down anytime and we can help you.
Love it. Thank you so much, Rachel. I think I mentioned before in the song break, I've got some OG books. I'll probably see you soon.
No worries. We'll see you soon then.
Thanks, Rachel.
Excellent. Thank you.
Ah, what a show, Kelly.
Oh, jam-packed as per usual. And, you know, have we got a couple of minutes for some more event shout-outs? Have we run out of time?
No, we can squeeze them in.
Squeeze them in. Beautiful. Well, a shout-out, Healesville Park Run has come to Healesville. Now it's new, it's exciting, and it's a great opportunity. People immediately think, what if I don't want to run? Oh, you don't have to run. You can run, you can walk, you can crawl, you can skip. It's all about connecting. It's free. It's down at Marinda Dam. It's a regular event, and it's every Saturday. Yeah, every Saturday at 8 a.m. So great opportunity. There's volunteering opportunities as well. So if you know, you don't want to get active on a particular morning, you want a little bit of a breather, you can still pop down, and it's all volunteer run. And there's also a bit of a social connection opportunity afterwards, because a lot of the park runners connect and pop down to my little kitchen in Healesville afterwards for a coffee and a chat. So if you want to find out more, www.parkrun.com.au/Marinda Dam.
Beautiful. And if you don't feel like running, if you like sitting down having a chat, there's a cards group that run twice a week in Yarra Junction. It's the over-50s friendship group. Have cards on a Monday and a Wednesday every single week from about 12 till 4 at the Yarra Burn Centre, which is at the Yarra Junction Reserve there. There's a little building off to your right-hand side, the Yarra Burn Centre. Welcome anybody every day of the week, either Monday or Wednesday. On Wednesday, 12 to 4, come down, play some cards, share a cup of tea and have a chat. Particularly on a cold day, it's just lovely to have meet some new people, and they're very friendly. So every week, Monday, Wednesday, pop down, play some cards, learn to play cards, or just have a chat. Lovely time to meet the amazing people in our community.
Sounds perfect, Michael. And we often get asked, fundraising. How can we help our community groups with fundraising? Well, you're in luck. We've got an upcoming skill building workshop in a couple of weeks' time on Thursday the 22nd of June. So we're coming back in person at the Civic Centre in Lilydale to have a little bit of a chat about how community groups can connect with funding, and in quite creative ways, maybe some traditional fundraising ways, but there might be some creative new ways that you can connect into to get some cash to support the great work that you do in the community. So if you want to find out more about that, jump onto Council's website at yarrarangers.vic.gov.au, search fundraising, and the fundraising fundamentals workshop information will pop up for you. Everyone's welcome.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. So that's our show for this week and next month, sorry. And next month it will be NAIDOC week. So we've got some great guests lined up for a celebrate NAIDOC week as well. And so hopefully enjoy your time in winter now, and we'll see you again next month.